So good to have you guys here today. I'm excited to speak to you. I've been preaching through the book of Mark, or the gospel of Mark. Mark was a young guy. The scriptures kind of refer to him, you know, during the life of Jesus, who's probably, potentially he was just a teenager and he experienced Jesus. And he spent a lot of time with the disciples. Specifically, Peter was a mentor to Mark. And he wrote down the stories of Jesus. And today we get to look at some of the words that Jesus said. Maybe for you here today, you're like, so what? Well, I'm excited about that. I want you to think about the fact that we get to read the very words of God. God come down in the flesh as a human being like you and me to speak to us. And he did it 2,000 years ago. And there was a young teenage guy, maybe similar to your guys' age. And he wrote it down. He wrote down the words of Jesus. And we get to read it now. God has preserved it over thousands of years. You know, there's been a lot of famous writers over the centuries whose works have been lost. Lost. They've written down stuff. They were famous. And over history, libraries have burned down. Works have been lost. And God chose to preserve these words. And Mark was a nobody. He wasn't famous. He wasn't really known. But these words that we get to read, they're just precious. And so we're going to be talking about soil today. We're going to be talking about soil. Let's read about it. We're going to read Mark chapter 4. We're in verse 1. And it says this. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, Jesus says. A farmer went out to plant some seed, and he scattered it across his field. Some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anybody who has ears to hear should listen and understand. Jesus was giving out. He was telling a story, and he knew that not everybody was going to be able to get it. Nobody was going to hear it. And he's like, if you have ears to hear, are your spiritual ears open? He's not saying, do you physically hear it? He's like, are your spiritual ears open? Can you hear what is being said? Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. Fascinating statement by Jesus there at the end. Up until this point, we've been reading all sorts of things that Jesus said and did. Most of it was he went here and he healed this person and he said this. This is the very first story that we read of in Mark that we're hitting that's a parable. It's his very first parable that Mark records. Probably the first parable that Jesus taught. Parable. It's a story communicating some sort of truth, a spiritual truth. Jesus would use parables to communicate two things. One, he would use them to communicate to the people he was speaking. He wanted them to understand the heart of the Father. He wanted them to understand the heart of God the Father. I want you guys to be able to see how God operates, how he thinks, how he feels. I want you to see the heart of the Father. The other ways that he would use the parables is to communicate the kingdom of God. He wanted people to understand the culture of the kingdom of God. He's like, there's a God up in heaven. I want you to understand his heart. And he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And he's the king over a kingdom. You do not see it with your physical eyes right now, but it's a spiritual kingdom. And one day it's going to come down here to earth and it's going to be seen with your physical eyes as well. But I want you to understand the culture of this kingdom. And he used parables to be able to communicate these two things. Now, it's interesting. Typically, when we look at parables, we go, parables a little bit like a metaphor. But as I was looking at the parables, specifically this one this week, I almost called this sermon the Riddler. You guys remember the Riddler? Did you ever watch Batman? You know, Batman had all sort of like art. He had all sorts of arch enemies, and one of his arch enemies was the Riddler. And the Riddler would have riddles for Batman that Batman would have to solve so that he could go and he could save or stop whatever the Riddler was doing. Jesus was very different from the Riddler because he wasn't trying to cause chaos. He's actually the opposite of the Riddler. But when you read Jesus' parables, they are like riddles. They're like riddles. We have insight into them today because we're able to read the whole thing and we're able to study it. And he takes his disciples aside and they're like, Jesus, we can't figure this out. And he's like, okay, let me tell you. And so we get the notes of that. But the people of Jesus' day that were listening to Jesus, they were listening to riddles. Jesus was communicating a spiritual truth to them. And he's communicating in riddles because he's like, I'm going to give you a spiritual truth. Do you have motivation enough? Are you hungry enough? Are you thirsty enough that you are going to dig and you're going to claw and you're going to find out the truth of these parables, these riddles? Can you hear what I'm saying? Are your spiritual ears attuned to what I'm saying? I was looking this week at riddles, because I'm like, because this whole idea of the Riddler, and I came across this riddle I'd like for you guys to look at today. What 8-letter word can have a letter taken away and it still makes a word? Take another letter away and it still makes a word. Keep on doing that until you have one letter left. What is the word? Interesting. Hey, you see this riddle and you're like, what 8-letter word? Every single time you take a letter away, it's still a word. Now, if I were to let you sit and think about it, it might take you 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. You might look at this all day long and still not figure out what that word is. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of insight because we don't have all day here. The word is starting. The word is starting. So you take away that end letter T and it gives you the word staring. You take away A and it gives you the letter or the word string. You take away R and it gives you the word sting. You take away T and it gives you the word sing. Yes, sing. You take away the letter G and it gives you the word sin. take away N, it gives you letter I. When you solve that riddle, it gives you a sense of accomplishment, almost like doing a crossword puzzle at home if you're into crossword puzzles. But it gives you a greater appreciation for what you have just heard by figuring it out. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. You know, all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all recorded similar stories from their own perspectives. And Matthew recorded as well in his perspective of this parable. He includes this of what Jesus says. He says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. And they will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. It's like if your ears are open to what Jesus is saying, man, and I'm going to give you some understanding, and that's going to multiply. But when your ears are closed off what he's saying, even the knowledge that you do have is taken away. The parables that Jesus said were a little bit like a doorway. Jesus' listeners would stand at the foothold of the doorway and they'd listen to what Jesus said. And if their ears were open, if they were thirsty enough, they were hungry enough, they'd step through that doorway and the knowledge would come. And others would listen to what Jesus said and they'd never step through that doorway and they'd walk away confused and not understanding. You know, in the years of being a pastor over the years and just being a Christian, I've had a lot of people over the years come to me and you know, because we encourage people, you know, read your Bible, grow spiritually. And I've had a lot of people say to me over the years, man, it's like I read the Bible and it's like I don't get anything out of it. It's just like reading stories, and maybe I read through a whole chapter, and after I read, it's like I'm like, what did I just read? And at times I've heard people tell me those stories, and I'm just like, man, I don't get it. I'm not totally sure how to help you. And I was reading this parable this week, and I was studying these words of Jesus, and it struck me. I'm like, my goodness, I think the issue has to do with the fact that we can read the words of Jesus over and over and over again, and our ears are not open and we just can't hear. Our spiritual ears are just closed. The soil of our heart is not prepared to receive the seed that God wants to implant in it. The soil of our hearts healthy, cultivated, and prepared to hear the words of Jesus, that we accept the word of God and allow it to grow within our hearts. Let's continue Jesus' explanation in verse 13. It says, then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? Jesus is like, this is a core parable, you guys. I want you to get this, because if you can get this, the rest of them will come together as well. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. It's interesting because when you open up your Bible, oftentimes there's little subtitles. And oftentimes the subtitle to this parable, this story, is like the parable of the sower or the parable of the farmer scattering seed. But in this parable, that's actually not the focus at all. The focus isn't on the sower who's scattering seed. The very focus of this parable is on the soil. It's on the soil. If I could like go to all the people who are putting together Bibles today, I'd be like, you need to cross that out and call it the parable of the soil. The parable of the four soils. This sower could be a number of people. Jesus doesn't specifically say. I mean, the sower could be Jesus spreading his word. The sower could be the 12 disciples or any one of the disciples spreading the word. The sower could be you and me. But the point is that the sower is taking the word of God and he's spreading it. He's spreading it. You know what stuck out to me as I was studying this? Is that the sower seems like he's almost spreading this seed indiscriminately. He's taking the word of God and he's flinging it. And maybe to some degree, that sower doesn't know the quality of the soil. Maybe he's throwing it, some soil is shallow. It's not going to do so well. This soil over here, there's weeds in it, but he doesn't see the weeds yet. This soil over here, it's packed down by people walking over it. Maybe he sees that, but he doesn't care. He's spreading that word of God. He's spreading it everywhere he can. Everywhere he can, he's spreading that word. Now, if it's me, I'd be like, well, I want to figure out exactly what soil is the best soil. I'm going to go specifically there. I'm going to put it there. But the sower is just spreading it everywhere. He's just spreading it everywhere. And it came to me this week as like, you know what? God desires that all of us to hear his words. He wants all of us to hear. God desires that none should perish. That none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The message of Jesus is that you are dying in your sin. If you haven't heard that yet, you need to hear it. It's plain and it's simple. And I cannot make it any more clear. You are dying in your sin. And you need someone to save you. And you don't have to die. Jesus says, I have come that you would have life and have it to the full. And ultimately he came and he died on the cross for your sins. And when you accept that as your own and you plant that word deep into your heart, it produces a harvest. And Jesus' desire is that none would perish. No one has to die of their sins. And he wants that seed to be spread everywhere. Everywhere. But the question is what is the quality of the soil? That has to do with you and it has to do with me. You know, sometimes when it comes to church and when it comes to preaching, the focus ends up on being on the preacher and the one who's delivering the word of God. How good is it? How interesting is the preacher? How interesting is the word that's being distributed? Is it good enough that people will accept it? But it's interesting because this parable has nothing to do with the quality of how it's being sown. It has everything to do with the sower. I mean, the soil. How good is the soil? Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I don't know how to communicate the word of God as good as you, Pastor Matt. I don't know how to communicate the word of God as good as this person or this person or this person. So I'm just not going to do it because I feel like when I open my mouth, what comes out, it just doesn't sound good. And I think when I look at this parable, it's like Jesus is like going like, actually, it has nothing to do with how good you are. I just want you to sow that seed. I just want you to sow it. Sometimes that seed's going to fall in good soil, and sometimes it's not going to fall in good soil. But I want you to leave it up to me. Years ago, I remember I was a young man graduating out of university, and I ended up doing this internship. It was a missionary internship in the Philippines. And is in a certain part of the Philippines, I was with a missionary, and we're traveling all over the southern Philippines. And every village I went, I'm preaching. And I had an interpreter interpreting for me in all these villages. And I got to this one village, and it was on a Sunday morning. And it was several, maybe a month or two prior, a typhoon had come through that area and completely obliterated this church building, where there was almost like nothing left. The roof was ripped off, and like it was just kind of a mess. And it was just a little church, but the pastor's house was like connected onto it, and like that Sunday morning the people came, and they're seated in this like. This messed up church that the roof was ripped off, and like, and their lives had been turned upside down. You could tell these people had little to nothing. And I get up to preach that Sunday morning, and as I get up, I'd prepared something, and it was a message probably wasn't very good. Because actually, I look back at that time when I was preaching, and I was like, man, those messages were really bad. Young 23-year-old. And I get up to preach. And as I get up to preach, God says to me, you're not preaching that. You're going to preach this. Sorry. If you're new here, I get a little bit emotional at times. And he totally changed what I was going to preach. So I had no sermon written down properly, and I get up to preach, and it was probably like 10 minutes, and in the middle of my sermon, all of a sudden, everybody's crying. And people are responding to the word of God. People are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I realized afterwards, God was like, you know, it had nothing to do with you. Yes, Pat, you are being obedient. You're taking the word and you're spreading it. But it has nothing to do with how good your sermon was. Their hearts and their soil were prepared to receive it. Their hearts were prepared to receive it. And I did the rest. And I did the rest. And so this message that you're receiving today, it's all about the soil. It's not about the sower. When we look at this, we hit verse 15, and this seed goes out, and some of it falls on hard-packed soil. People have walked over that soil many, many, many times, and it's hard. And the word of God has gone out, and it's fell on that hard-packed soil. And I believe that hard-packed soil refers to a hard heart. What causes someone to have a hard heart? Maybe it's a person who's experienced a ton of hardship in their life. People have walked over their heart over and over and over again, and they've just become hardened. They've just become hardened, and the word of God goes out to them, and right away it just can't take root, and the enemy comes along and steals it away. I think sometimes we open our hearts up recklessly to all sorts of people and influences. We open our hearts up recklessly to all sorts of people and influences, and those influences and those people step over our hearts over and over and over again. And it hardens us because of that influence in our life. What needs to happen to that soil for it to receive it? If you're a gardener and you need to take a rototiller and you need to till that hard packed soil up. If you're a farmer, you need a cultivator that will cultivate that soil. I think sometimes our hearts can become hard and God's like, man, I want to reach you so bad. I need to cultivate that soil of your heart. And this isn't going to be fun. It's going to kind of hurt. But I'm allow certain things to happen in your life, certain circumstances to come into your life to till up that soil of your heart so you can finally hear and understand. We see in verse 16 and 17 where Jesus talks about some fell on rocky, shallow soil. Years ago, I lived on the island, and we had this little house. We had a yard in the front and the back, like most people do. And every spring and every fall, the grass of my yard was green, green, green. And the reason why is because you live on the island and it rains, rains, rains. And the summer would hit and it would rain a little bit less and a little bit less. And guaranteed by the time July hit, that grass was bone dry. I mean, it had gone dormant. And when I first moved into that house, it's like brought out the sprinklers and sprinkle it and water it like every day. And it didn't matter how much I watered it and how much I put the sprinkler out there. It was dry, dry, dry. And I couldn't figure it out. I'm watering this thing to death. What is going on? And it finally clued in when I looked a little bit deeper that whoever developed that property, they put like a thin layer of like topsoil and the rest underneath was gravel. And so it looked good like when it was just wet all the time. But the moment that rain stopped, it just dried out all summer long because the soil was shallow. Soil was shallow. And Jesus speaks into that shallowness. And he says, you know what? Problems and persecutions come your way. If you have a shallow heart, you have troubles in life. Life isn't perfect. Life is hard. And those troubles and those problems and those persecutions come and you wither away. Shouldn't life be easier if I'm a Christian? God, why are you doing this to me? God, why am I experiencing this? And we go through hardship in life. We go through troubles in life. And our faith evaporates. Because our soil is shallow. This is a very inward focused faith. It's all about me. God, it's all about me. Why is this happening to me? God, if you're a good God, why do we have all these problems on the earth? Why, if you're a good God, why is it that good person is having bad things happening to them? If God loves me, why am I experiencing these problems? I want to introduce to you guys a guy by the name of Nick Vujicic. I probably pronounced his name wrong. You may have seen him on the internet before. This is a man who's born with no legs and no arms. He was genetically born that way. He didn't have an accident. This is how he came out of his mother's womb. Amazing guy who would have been born this way, gone through incredible hardship. Can you imagine being a kid born with no legs, no arms, being in school, being mocked, being made fun of, being picked on? Everywhere you go in society, people looking at you and staring at you. And Nick has said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or thankful for what you do have. Nick has taken his life and he said, God, I know that you have a purpose in this. You have a purpose for me. It's no fun not having no legs and no arms, but God, I believe that you are good. I don't understand why it is like this, but I put my faith in you. And this guy's faith is so strong. I saw an interview with him and Oprah Winfrey live, like television broadcast all across the country. And you know what? He was interviewed. No, all he wanted to do was talk about Jesus and his faith in God. All he wanted to do is talk about his faith in God. And when I look at a picture like Nick and the stuff that he's gone through and how deep his faith is, I say, man, that is a guy, his faith he's not a shallow soil Christian. It is deep. And you know, when the storms of life come, you can see the trees whose roots are a little bit shallow because the storms of life come and the winds come and those trees blow over. But the trees that have those deep roots in deep soil, the winds and the storms come and they stay up. Branches are broken. They're a little bit worse for wear, but they're still standing there. And then Jesus says, you know, some of the seed that's going to go out, it's going to land on thorny soil. And I'd say this is a crowded heart. A crowded heart. You know, thorns are a little bit like weeds. Weeds are plants that are just like any other plant, but they're just hindering the growth of the plant that you do want to see grow. And so we call it a weed because we don't want it, but the reality is it's just a regular plant just like anything else. And if you want your plants to grow well, you have to pick those weeds out. This is the one that I believe for us here in North America, I think that we actually struggle with the most within the church. The word of God is planted in our lives, but there's other plants that are growing up beside us. And they can grow up and right beside us you have the word of God and these other plants. But the problem is with those weeds or with those thorns is that it's not that they choke out the word of God completely, but they hinder its growth in our lives. And if we fully want the word of God to grow within our lives, sometimes we have to make really hard decisions. And we have to look at those plants that are in our soil and say, man, those plants aren't so bad, but they're hindering the growth of the word of God in my life. God has something greater for me. And I'm going to have to make a really hard decision. I'm going to have to rip that out and take it out of my life. And I think we have to ask ourselves hard questions. God, what stuff in my life is hindering your growth? The stuff isn't bad, but it's holding you back from doing what you want to do in my life, God. What hobbies do I have? They're not bad. But this hobby over here, it's restricting the growth of God in my life. And it needs to go. Jesus says, the worries of this life are those weeds that come in and they choke out the word of God. Sometimes those worries that we struggle with are things that we can eliminate stuff. Our desire for money. Jesus says our desire for money is a thorn. Our desire for stuff chokes out the word of God within us. And Jesus says, what is it that you desire more? What is it you desire more? Because when you chase after the stuff, when you chase after the money, when you chase after everything that this world offers, it just chokes out the word of God within your life. What is our priorities? And then Jesus says, there's this other kind of soil. And man, it's good soil. It's fertile soil. And the weeds have been taken out. And when the word of God is planted in this good soil, man, it produces all sorts of fruit. It produces all sorts of fruit 60 times, 30 times what has been planted, 100 times as much has been planted. So what does that fruit look like? When God plants that in our hearts, when God plants His word into good soil within our lives, what does that look like? What does that fruit look like? I think some of it Paul dives into in Galatians chapter 5. He says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think some of it looks like this. When we allow the Word of God to be planted in that good soil of our hearts, the Holy Spirit just does this. It's not something you have to like strive for. But He starts doing it. He starts giving us patience and peace and joy. Stuff that we just can't find in this world. But that seed that comes out of being planted in good soil, it's not just about us. Sometimes our faith can be very self-centered. It's not just about us. God does. He produces all that stuff in our lives. But that seed that He's producing that produces 60 and 100 times as much, God's like, yeah, it's produced in your life so you can start spreading it. So you can start spreading it. I think of that dandelion. You know, when you're a kid, you love picking up that white dandelion that's gone to seed. And that one dandelion produces all those seeds and it's a white little ball and you blow it and all those seeds just like scatter. And you don't know where those seeds are going to go. You don't know exactly where they're going to land. And you don't know where it's going to produce fruit in someone else's life. But Jesus is like, man, I'm going to produce all sorts of fruit in your life. And man, it's going to change you in this way. And then it's going to spread all over. And produce fruit in other people's lives. The wind of the Spirit is going to blow on you like that dandelion. It's going to spread your seeds all over the place. Man, you're going to be surprised at where it pops up. Where it's going to be planted and how it's going to affect other people. So what is the point of this parable? What's the point of this parable? Jesus is speaking to them 2,000 years ago and He's speaking to us today and He's saying, man, I want you guys to be fruitful. I want you guys to be fruitful. Do you have ears to hear what I'm saying? Are the ears of your heart open? And is the soil of your heart prepared to receive it? Is it hard? Do you need to do some tilling? Do you need to get the rototiller out? God, rototill my heart. It's softer. It's grown hard. God, is the soil of my heart shallow? God, bring in a whole dumpster of soil and let's re-landscape my heart. Doesn't have to stay rocky. Holy Spirit, You're the landscaper. Come in with that bobcat. Start ripping stuff apart and bringing in new soil so that I can be healthy. God, would You point out the weeds that need to come out of my life?